KC Covers Country.
Good morning. It's the top of a new week, and I know I normally don't release KC Covers Country episodes until like Thursdays or Fridays, but something today has got me a little bored in studio. I feel like I want to talk a little extra. And as I was brainstorming different deep dives that I've wanted to do and wanted to talk about with you, this one just stuck out and sort of revealed itself to me as on the air, I was playing John Michael Montgomery's song, I Can Love You Like That. So today we are deep diving into why two of John Michael Montgomery's biggest songs were recorded and released at the exact same time as an R&B group who also saw extreme success from those songs. But first we have to get into everything that happened this weekend. I say we go ahead and just dive in. Tim McGraw and Carly Pearce were at the Enterprise Center making national news on Friday night. Carly Pearce opened the show. Everyone loves Carly Pearce, but she really had everyone's attention when she dedicated a song to the family of Riley Strain after he was just found on Friday morning. She told the crowd, I do not feel like I can live in Nashville and be in the state of Missouri tonight and not say that we love you, Riley. I just want to say that I'm thinking of his family, thinking of his friends, and anybody who knows him in this room. I want to dedicate this song to them, which was so sweet. She said that she'd been following this case closely ever since it began, as I'm sure a lot of people who A, live in Nashville, or B, live in Missouri have been. So it was really sweet of her to mention that. The crowd went wild, as you can imagine. And by the time that Tim McGraw got on stage, he also had a trick up his sleeve, because any St. Louis concert goer knows what an artist is about to do when they say they've got a special guest to bring out. And that's exactly what Tim McGraw said as he welcomed Nelly. Hug when Nelly came out on stage. They performed that song with their arms around each other. I can't believe that song came out 20 years ago. The video's on our Facebook page, Instagram. Chris Stapleton has done a lot of things. He's written a lot of songs. He's had a lot of kids. He's toured the whole world. But there's one thing that he swears he will never do, and I can't really blame him. I don't think I would be up for this either. It's bungee jumping.
Bungee jump. Yeah, see, I got in line to do that one. And while I was in the line, I mean, it was a long line. It was maybe 25, 30 people. It snapped on a guy. Now, they had the big cushion below because maybe this happens all the time. I don't know. But, you know, the guy landed in the thing and he was fine. But that was the moment that I got out of line.
Bungee jumping. He was in line to do it. Chris Stapleton. And then he saw the line snap as somebody before him was making the jump. I mean, I think that would be enough to make everybody leave the line, at least I would assume. And thank goodness they had one of those cushion things below. But obviously, I've never been. Do they do that every time? Because I really did not think, I didn't think there was anything underneath you. Regardless, Chris Stapleton says he's out. He won't be getting in line for that again. And I will take his lesson as my own and follow his lead. Sam Hunt is paying tribute to Johnny Cash in a new music video for his new song called Locked Up. And the song talks about literally back when he was running into some trouble, some scandals back around 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020. And essentially thanking his wife for sticking around even when he was, quote, locked up. And Sam is not one to ignore the elephant in the room. You know, he admits that he has spent a night or two in a cell.
I wanted to write a song called Locked Up. I had no idea what it might be about, although I have had a few run-ins with the law in my lifetime. So we found a really cool prison in East Tennessee. We had this idea originally, recreate the Johnny Cash Folsom Prison concert that he did back in the day, and dressed up in the all black and the suit, and I got a bunch of local guys to come out and dress up as inmates.
And it's actually a very cool music video. I gotta say, if you're gonna pay tribute to Johnny Cash, you gotta make sure you do it right, you know? Like, that's a big thing to do. It's a big thing to make headlines about and then flop. And I gotta say, the music video, it looks great. It stars him, his band, his wife Hannah, who I'm assuming was standing in as June Carter Cash, and she was actually pregnant with their second child at the time. And the whole scene reimagines the infamous 1968 concert at Folsom Prison. All right, let's do a little John Michael Montgomery deep dive. This first came up probably about 2 or 3 years ago when right here in the WIL studio, I was sitting across from my old friend Remy, and all of a sudden we start playing John Michael Montgomery, I Can Love You Like That. And I can see the look on his face as he's saying, I know this song, but not by him. And if anybody knows Remy super well, you'll also know that he didn't really grow up a country music fan. Like, he was very much a surface level country music fan. He knew the artists, the greatest hits, that kind of stuff. But he would even admit to you that he was raised more of a classic rock fan. He was a child of the 90s and 2000s. He just wasn't in the country music scene. And he recognized the song I Can Love You Like That by an R&B group called All For One. And growing up, I always thought that this was the Mandela effect, that I was sort of tricking myself. You know, sometimes in my head, if it, I would hear it in the John Michael Montgomery way, or sometimes I would hear it in the R&B way, and I couldn't figure out where I got that from until Remy said it in person here in studio and we looked everything up online. They both exist and always have. Let me start from the beginning. There's a song that you will recognize called I Swear. It was written by Gary Baker and Frank J. Myers in 1987, but they couldn't get anybody to record the song. It wasn't until 1992, 5 years later, that they recorded a new demo of the song. I don't know, maybe they spiced it up a bit, made it a little more interesting. In 1993, it got the attention of a new country artist, John Michael Montgomery. John Michael Montgomery, he took the song, he recorded it, and it was immediately a success on the country charts.
I swear, by the moon and the stars in the sky, I'll be there.
He was with Atlantic Records at the time, and they thought that the song had some crossover potential, so they even considered having him record a pop version. And I'm curious if he actually did it and if it exists anywhere. But the story goes that the label head at Atlantic Records didn't want to upset the country radio stations by also recording a pop version. And I have to jump in here because if there's anything that my eyes have been opened to since working at a country station, it is the weird relationship between country labels and radio stations. They get so up in arms, things get so sensitive, there's big egos on each side, and it's really just all about getting what you need from the other party. If we also had John Michael Montgomery record a pop version, or if he did that one exclusively, you know, then would we be sliding country radio because now we've taken that from them? I'm sure there are plenty better explanations of it that go more in depth, but that's what I'm gathering. Atlantic recruited this new suave guy group that they had called All For One, an R&B group. They had them record the song, I Swear. David Foster produced it, so you know it was going to be a hit. All For One's cover version was released as their second single off their very first album in like 1994. So John Michael Montgomery's had just been released in 93. Then this new one by All For One is in 94. And they're both hitting radios kind of at the same time. Other than John Michael Montgomery having a little twang and All For One being a bit more smooth, there's not really any difference between the two songs. However, All For One did make a lyric change, I'm assuming to make the song sound a little more young. They replaced
"They're silver in your hair"
with this line,
"Just the two of us are there."
All For One's version of I Swear went number one on US Billboard's Hot 100, and it stayed there for 11 consecutive weeks, which is huge. And it kind of makes me wonder if John Michael Montgomery didn't regret not recording that pop version in the first place. He would have been on both charts, I'm assuming. But the story doesn't even end there, because 2 years later, John Michael Montgomery would go on to release a song called I Can Love You Like That.
I can love you like that.
And it hung out on the charts for weeks. It even went number one, but it only stayed number one for about a week. 2 months later in 1995, it was once again recorded and released by All For One.
I can love you like that.
And it also popped off. Again, it was produced by David Foster. It got up to the fifth spot on the Billboard Top 100 and is certified gold. This is one of those country music tales that, again, I felt like it was the Mandela effect. I always knew it existed, but I never really dug that deep. So it's kind of still a mystery to me, and I'd love to ask some questions to somebody working at Atlantic back in the 90s. But that's the story of how two of John Michael Montgomery's biggest and first hits were simultaneously charting by an entirely different group. And that's the beauty of working with / being friends with somebody who you have a 10-year age difference with. What's up, Remy? Before I let you go this week, I could not remember if we talked about it on the podcast or just on the air, but we gave away a dream destination wedding that kind of mirrored my own. It was at the same resort, Dreams Natura Resort and Spa in Cancun, Mexico, with a wedding in paradise package and a $1,000 airfare credit to get the winners there. And we had everybody entering to win on the mobile app for the last month. On Saturday, we chose all of our finalists and met them all at the brand new Topgolf location in Midtown, which was awesome, by the way. And like 30 couples competed for the grand prize. So they each played two rounds of golf and the couples got to combine their scores. The top scoring couple won. I've got our winners on the phone with me right now, Brittany and Nick. Congratulations again. But you guys actually left Topgolf on Saturday and went straight to your engagement party. How did everybody react when you told them that you just won a destination wedding?
So we got everybody in the kitchen and we all, you know, we were about to say prayer and everything. And I said, wait, we have an announcement. And I was like, okay, maybe this kind of sounds like a pregnancy announcement, but I said, we're going to Mexico. I said, we've been entering a contest every day and we went to Topgolf today and won a dream destination wedding.
Okay, so you guys weren't originally planning on having a destination wedding then?
We kind of talked about, you know, like, should we just, you know, forget about all the wedding planning here and just take off somewhere and get married at the beach? I don't know if this is a sign or what, but
I absolutely think it was a sign. And I always feel like you hear couples romanticizing the idea of just throwing it all out the window and going to a beach somewhere to get weddings. So this is perfect. And I have to say another sign is that your engagement party that you were going to was already Mexican themed.
Yeah. So our original wedding date is National Taco Day too. So I mean, it's just Mexican all around. I don't know what to say.
Okay, that is fate. You guys also killed the competition at Topgolf on Saturday. So we had all of our finalists come in and each couple played two games of Topgolf. We combined their scores and the top scoring couple was the one that would win. And that was you guys. You and your man, you must be actual golfers.
So we actually were talking about that on the way home. The only time that we golfed was really just going to Topgolf and hitting like that. And when you were saying like, hey, you guys want to warm up? I looked at Brittany and said, hey, do you want to hit a few? And she goes, no, because it will mess me up. I'm just going to go up there and just whatever happens, happens.
Okay, stop. That's way too funny. Well, congratulations again. We loved meeting you on Saturday. We're so excited for you guys and your destination wedding at Dreams Natura in Mexico. I can tell you from experience, it is incredible. And you'll definitely have to send us photos, tag us in photos so that we can share them with the WIL listeners.
Awesome. We can't wait. We're excited.
Casey covers country.